Hi guys, I'm Dr. Tori, and this is the Half Crunched Mama Doc podcast, where I'm connecting with busy parents to swap stories of the celebrations and struggles of parenthood, all through the lens of a pediatrician. Tune in to hear everything from pregnancy and parenting to mental health practices, a little hippie, and a lot more. So happy you're here. Hello. It's been so long. I just want to start by saying thank you. Thank you for sticking with me, for being patient. I know this was like a really long break. But I took a little poll on my Instagram today and said, hey, I got time for an episode. Do you guys want to hear some peed stuff or you want to hear a life update? And it was overwhelmingly life update. So if you tune in for peed stuff, this isn't it. You can bypass on by if you don't care what I'm up to. So I'm just going to, I don't have any notes or anything. So this may turn into a rambling mess. But I just feel like with you guys following along and so many of you being friends or family or past families I've taken care of that just know me, and I feel like I want to share with you guys what I've been up to and what led life here. So I would say I would go back in my head to when my husband and I first met, which was an undergrad at the University of Iowa. And we actually met at an outdoor like training high ropes adventure course. But since then, have really just loved being outdoors. Between my intern year and my second year of residency, we actually took a week-long trip with a friend, a couple, to the Boundary Waters, which are kind of a series of waterways between the United States and Canada. And we spent the week living out of a tent and out of backpacks. And you have a canoe that you canoe. And when you need to go lake to lake, you pick it up and you carry it over your head and you haul it to the next one. And it was glorious. After a year of holding anywhere between one and four pagers at a time, you know, all the time, it was great to not have cell phone reception, to have to crank your radio to get anything, to, you know, cook your food over a fire. We just loved it so much. So we had always talked about living somewhere that we could do that more. And for us, that really meant kind of Pacific Northwest area. The trees called to me, the forest called to me, the ocean called to me. I tell my husband I feel like Moana when I say it, but it just like has always felt like I belonged in the Pacific Northwest. And so when I finished residency, we looked kind of peripherally around in Pacific Northwest in like Washington, Oregon, Northern California, even like Montana, and just kind of had our eyes open. And then at a job fair, there was a posting in Iowa City where we had met. And so I took the interview thinking that maybe we, you know, it would be a good practice interview. But, you know, the more we talked about it, we love Iowa City. We loved it before. And it close to all our family and things. And so it just kind of worked out that we decided to come back to Iowa City afterwards. And we loved it. It, of course, I don't know if you have ever been, some of you live there, but it just is a really great, vibrant college town with a lot of things going on, a lot of nice areas, very safe. So we really enjoyed it. Things really started shifting when after we had our son. We had been renovating, so we bought a 1940s house that needed quite a bit of work, and we had decided we were going to chip and JoJo it, and which is not as fun as it sounds. Let me just start there. It was a lot of time, a lot of, you know, extra minutes spent here and there, a lot of frustration, and it just something that thought you would take you an hour takes 6 hours, and you know, my husband took on the brunt of the renovation work because I turns out I didn't really enjoy it. And so then I kind of fell into keeping the house and doing the groceries and the laundry and the traditional wifey stuff. And it just felt like we weren't getting to spend much time just being, or adventure for that matter. And so after we had our son, we really started asking these questions, like, what do we want our life to look like? What do we want our son's life to look like? It's not renovating this house, that's for sure. And so we hired a wonderful contractor to help jumpstart through the rest of the house while Max was an infant. And he really kind of gave us that jumpstart to like, okay, we can do this. He did the nice, you know, did a nice amount of work that we thought like, yeah, we can take over and finish this out. But we had started talking like maybe we should think about Pacific Northwest again. And then COVID hit and we, like everybody else, I think really got to see what exactly you need in your life. What are your values? What are your non-negotiables? What are your desires? What, you know, really pared down all that extra stuff that I think takes your time and your mental capacity and your schedule, that you just don't sit and think like, gosh, what do I want? What do we want for this family? What do we want? And we agreed that we wanted to try it. We wanted to try this dream that we had thought about for a decade, and we wanted to give it a go. So I started just kind of getting recruiter emails and, you know, taking some phone calls and things, nothing really serious. It wasn't until about a year after that I found a program that I thought would be a good fit. We actually went really far down the process with a job in Northern California. Like, I got a license. I got a medical license in California, which if you probably don't know, but takes many, many hours of computer and registration work and thousands of dollars, only to be burned by the job at the end. Like, basically, I went through all that work and they were like, meh, we don't need you. And so I was just taken aback, it sucked. But at the same time, we were like, obviously wasn't meant to be. It wasn't, you know, we weren't meant to be there. And so we kind of took a deep breath and said like, hey, we have a beautiful life. I love my patients. I love my coworkers. I especially love my nurse. If you're listening, Jay, I miss you so much. And so we really just focused on prioritizing us, and we scheduled some adventures like around, you know, our home at campsites and like ways that we could have an adventure without leaving Iowa, and really kind of refocused. And that was spring of 2021, the spring of this year. And I had still been signed up on all these platforms for recruiters and things when someone had reached out, hey, wondering, you know, opening about a coastal pediatrics job in Oregon. And I was still very burned. So I was like, yeah, I'd like to hear some more information. Just, you know, email it over. And the lovely woman asked for a phone call. And in my head, I was like, I don't know if I'm ready to start taking these phone calls again. But I did. And then I reached out to someone who was affiliated. If you've been here from the beginning, this podcast kind of was all born out of doing a mentorship program with Emily at Bootbod, just kind of trying to find your core and what drives you and what's next. And this podcast came out of it. But I contacted someone that she had in the program because I knew she lived in Oregon. And I said, hey, do you know anything about this town? Like, I kind of just got burned and I want to know a little bit more before I start, you know, spending time taking phone calls and things. And she was like, oh, I don't, but let me ask a friend. She messages back and says, hey, my really good friend has a friend that works in that town as a doctor. Here's her number. And I was like, okay, well, that's kind of strange to cold call someone, but, you know, what better way to get a feel for a place? And so I ended up messaging the doctor and saying like, hi, you're a friend of a friend. I'm noticed there's a job available and I was thinking of talking to, you know, the recruiter and wondering if you had any input. And she was phenomenal. Like from the start, it was like talking to an old friend when I talked to her. She's like, oh yeah, I'm available. Call me. So I called her over a lunch break and it was just like we had known each other for a very long time. We were already laughing and joking and it just felt really good. And so I ended up talking to the recruiter. There was a little bit of inpatient like nursery call, which I hadn't done in a little while. I had been doing mostly primarily outpatient. And so that was new, but it's a smaller town. And so I thought, you know, I could do low volume. It would really be nice to keep up those skills so I don't lose them completely without feeling overwhelmed. So I talked to another doctor who was also fantastic. And I was like, gosh, this feels really good. These people feel like my people. And so I flew out for a 24-hour whirlwind because I had some time off for a camping trip for one of our adventures. And I said, hey, here's some time I have off. I can come out during this time. I can give you like 24 hours. So I flew out in an N95. You know, barely, like, I don't know if you've ever worn N95 for longer than 20 minutes, but it's brutal. So I flew out in my N95 and all my Clorox wipes and all my hand sanitizer by myself because we weren't comfortable with, you know, our son flying. And really at that time, my husband needed to stay home with my son. So we flew out, or I flew out. It was a whirlwind of a 24 hours, but just like the two doctors, everybody that I met felt like an old friend. And it's a gorgeous little coastal town. So of course the ocean is like right here and the sun was shining the whole time I was here and it felt so good. And so when I came back, my husband was like, well, what do you think? And I said, I love it. What do you want to see it? And he's like, nope, if you love it, we're going to love it. We just, you know, let's be together and let's have an adventure. And so it went quickly after that, I'll tell you. After I said yes, it moved fast. All the paperwork went quick. I gave my 90 days notice at my current job and sobbed and cried with every single family that I had to tell that I was leaving. If you're listening, trust me, my heart broke every time. I love you guys so much and I miss you too. But things were moving fast at that point. And because I told you this is going to be garbled and jumbled, rewind to I had a virtual interview for this job on a Wednesday, got a positive pregnancy test on that Saturday, so 4 days later, thinking, oh, great, like, what a good idea this is, oh, no. And so when I flew up for my interview, I was like six weeks-ish pregnant. And I had gotten an ultrasound before I left that just kind of showed a sac and nothing else. But it was pretty early and I ovulate late, so we were like, okay, we'll check again when I get back. So I kind of told a couple of the admin, like administration, you know, very early, would I even have any options for leave? Like, what is that going to look like? And, you know, because I wouldn't have been there, but, oh boy, a couple months at that point before taking leave, which, of course, for a new job, you're like, I'm sorry. And they're like, hi, you just got here. Thankfully, they were amazing and things were going to work out fine. But when I came back from my interview, we re-ultrasounded and there was still no baby, just an empty sac in there. So I had what's called a missed abortion. So my body hadn't quite figured it out yet, or an anembryonic miscarriage. So there was no, like, it had started developing but then stopped. And really don't know the reason for that. And so kind of had to go through all of that, which you've been through it is not like a, oh, you're done type of thing. It takes weeks to get through everything, the lab draws and the visits and the ultrasounds and the everything else. It just takes weeks. And if you have interest, obviously I'm an open book. I can certainly record another episode with all of that, but I'm going to skip through it for now because that's not the point of this story. Just adding to the chaos of the current situation. And so I did that, like all that went through. We're getting into June. I'm starting to tell all my patients. Then I think this was end of June or maybe it was end of July. I'm losing track. It went so fast because I was still working full time and trying to get everything ready because then we were going to have to sell this house we just renovated. So we were contacting realtors. We were finishing up last minute things that we had put off on the house. Like we needed to still paint the basement. We had tiled it, but we hadn't painted it. And so there were just like few things checked off, like still on the list that we needed to do before we could list the house. And we wanted to list it in enough time that we wouldn't have to try to sell it while we were gone. And so we really wanted to get everything pushed through when we were still living there. So the goal was to have it on the market sold at least 4 to 6 weeks. It was a mess of a, I've forgotten the whole timeline, you guys. Anyway, just know that was all going on in the background. Then we had planned our very first travel trip of COVID and the entire pandemic, 15 months into this. And we decided to get COVID tests before we left just out of abundance of precaution, me and my son, because he goes to daycare and I do what I do, seeing sick kids all day. My husband stays at home working, so he didn't get tested, but my son and I both did. We were feeling nothing. Like, my son was the healthiest he had been in months, and I was feeling tired, like fatigued, but I had also just gone through this miscarriage. We were staying up late at night trying to finish renovations, trying to get our house on the market. Like, I kind of just thought the fatigue was normal. And so got the results the morning that we were supposed to travel positive, which threw a wrench in everything, which means we were pushing our listing day. I needed to stay home with my son for 2 weeks for him to be out of daycare. Thankfully, we had really minimal symptoms. I was just continued fatigue for a few days. And looking back, I definitely had brain fog, like I had forgotten my wallet somewhere and I left my car unlocked, like things that I had attributed just to the fact that I was exhausted. We did end up testing my husband, who was negative, and I'm not really sure how that happened because we didn't quarantine, because I definitely needed a parent teammate. He was vaccinated, of course, so we were kind of like, it will be minimal, and we've certainly all spent some time together so far. So if you're exposed, you're already exposed. So it was crazy. But the 2 weeks or 10 days that I got with my son at home really felt like, we took advantage of it. We got a little pool that we filled up in our backyard. We spent time together. We thankfully both felt pretty fine. It was really nice. It was really nice to stop and slow down and kind of be forced into it in that moment, and really, really grateful that we felt okay. I was also, the moment I saw the positive tests on my phone, I lost it. I cried, like hysterically crying, sobbing for at least probably 15 minutes while my husband held me. Because you spend all these months trying to protect your child. We hadn't seen family. We hadn't seen friends. We'd missed birthday parties. We'd, canceled travel plans. We hadn't seen our best friends. I hadn't seen my best friend's babies. I mean, it was just crazy the amount of things that we had put off in hopes to protect our son. And he still gets it. I think it was 6-8 months worth it. When I'd get home from work, I'd shower and strip off all my clothes before I'd even go see them. So it was just kind of devastating at that level. But I think as you progress through anything that stinks, you start to see the silver linings or the, places you can be grateful in that. And so really at the end of it, we were grateful for the time to slow down and really gave us some extra time to go through closets and, you know, just pare down. So, oh yeah. And we're also looking for a new place to live in Oregon. So the town that we moved to is pretty small, less than 10,000. There's a high vacation, short-term vacation rental here because it's kind of a summery destination for people that live more inland. But there's really nothing in the way of like long-term rental properties. And we certainly didn't want to buy another house after just doing a full renovation. It was kind of last on our list to want to buy a house, and we just didn't have the time. We would have had to buy without even seeing the house in person, which I know people do. We were not prepared to do that. So thankfully, my husband found this like long-term rental that wasn't on any other rental websites that I don't know how he found it. He's just an internet sleuth. I don't know if he just – I don't know. But he found it, thankfully. One of the docs that I had spoken to originally was so nice and toured it for us because you had to have an in-person representative before they'd even let you apply. So the house that we're in now is about half the size of the one in Iowa City, which we were excited about. After renovating the house in Iowa City, we had both agreed that it was too much house, that we couldn't, like when I was cooking dinner or my husband was cooking dinner, like you really weren't a part of what the other people were doing because that's not, you know, it was in a different area. And it just felt, you know, like we were further apart than we wanted to be. And so we had agreed we wanted to have less space in a house in hopes that we could have more time, you know, outdoors and adventuring. So we went down to about half size. Before we moved, we did a ton of purging, like a ton. And it felt so great. But when we got here, the boxes were piling up in the rooms. They just kept bringing them in and bringing in. I was like, oh my gosh, we just clearly didn't get enough stuff, you know, purged. But I think we did a good job. We've got some storage stuff in the basement of like, you know, old kid clothes, like tubs of newborn clothes, tubs of infant clothes that were so kindly given to us by my sister-in-law. But they still take up a ton of space that you just don't have any great spots for, but you can't very well throw them away yet. So, yeah, we moved across the country with a two-year-old, and the flights were rough. The first one, so we had two flights. Both were about 2 hours. We had tried to prep him like, hey, we're going on an airplane. But, you know, after a year and a half of COVID and not doing much of much, there's really not a ton that you can do. And he is a sensitive kid. He, no matter how much prep, like Big Little Feelings prep you do, he is emotional. So like when he goes to the dentist, no matter how much we prep, he cries at the dentist. And, you know, as Big Little Feelings will tell you, that doesn't mean that the prep failed. That's, you know, that's just your kid. And so we knew it could be emotional, and it was. It certainly was. And we're bringing our dog on the flight. So all our stuff left. We lived like a week in Iowa City without any stuff. We were basically just camping. We flew across the country. We had so many bags, and a car seat and a stroller and a dog and our suitcases. And so the first flight, we had got him his own seat because you need your own seat over two. They wouldn't allow him to sit on my lap for takeoff, and he was scared as soon as we got on the plane. The loud noises, he didn't want to sit down. We had been running all over the airport thinking, you know, trying to tire him out, but he didn't want to watch anything. He didn't want any snacks. He was just screaming. And he just wanted to sit on my lap or my husband's lap, and they wouldn't let him. They said he must be buckled in his seat. Well, that lasted for at least 30 minutes. It felt like 3 hours on the tarmac with them saying he needed to be buckled in his seat, but we weren't going anywhere. Oh, it was terrible. We had like, my husband was fanning me because it was so hot in the airplane. We had like the very kind people, you know, in the next aisle were like, oh, maybe try this, maybe try this. Like they were just being very sweet. But the flight attendant, however, was being a foul witch. There's no other way to say it. She was just being foul. At one point, she asked if we had brought cough syrup that we could give him, which if looks could kill, I'm pretty sure my eyes threw daggers at her. So I eventually, because we weren't moving, unbuckled him and put him on my lap and he stopped crying. Of course, because I gave him a hug and like told him he was safe. And she came over and gave me a look of death and said, like, he's got to be buckled in his seat. So whatever. I buckled him in. He started crying again. We took off. As soon as the plane started moving and the air started moving, he was fine. We turned on a cartoon. We gave him some snacks. It was just a lot of keeping him busy. A lot of stickers. It was just a lot of activities. So after that first 45 minutes, it was exhausting because I was like, you know, when you're just like coiled and on edge and every muscle is tense and you're just waiting for the next outburst. But it was, and don't forget, I've said this on my Instagram before, after a meltdown, I feel like a dementor from Harry Potter has sucked all the life out of me. And that is how I felt in that moment. But I still had to like continue trying to coax him into being okay. And so he'd start to cry and we would try to find something else for him to do. Well, because we sat on the tarmac for so long, we were going to land late. And so we had, I think, 17 minutes to get to our new gate, which we had planned to have an hour and a half. So we were like, oh, we're going to get lunch. We'll get the dog to the little pet potty place. By the way, the dog had never flown and he was the MVP of the day. He literally did not make a beep and he did so good. But when we landed, I mean, I had to go to the bathroom so bad and we had nothing to eat. We had just had snacks and we weren't going to have any time to have any food. So I was thinking at this point, like, who cares? Let's get a hotel. I don't know that I want to put him in another fight. Like, what if this happens all over again? I just don't have the mental willpower to do this all over again. I was just exhausted. And so I notified a lady when we landed and said, hey, we're supposed to be at our next gate in 17 minutes. And she was like, oh, that's okay. I think you're going to make it. And I was like, oh, you do you? And this was in Denver. I said, okay, well, if you can call over and let them know we're on our way. And so my husband had gone to the bathroom and I told him, the lady said she thought we were going to make it. And he was like, really? Well, okay, let's try it. So I took my little stroller. I had bought this little like collapsible stroller, put Max in it, and we booked it. We were all sweating by the time we got to that gate. And they were like, oh, hi, Smiths, welcome. We've been waiting for you. So by the time that we got on, we were the last passengers on. We buckled him in. We hadn't buckled him in yet. He was on my husband's lap. And the flight attendant came by and she said, is this his seat that was by my husband? And he said, it is. Would it be okay if I held him for takeoff? She was like, oh, yeah, that's totally fine. I just needed to know that we weren't missing somebody. And I was like, oh, hallelujah. So takeoff went fine. He was looking out the window. My husband was like, oh, look at that stuff, because we were holding him, which just leads me to, like, I know the safety measures, but I also know two-year-olds are, you know, if he was a day before two-year-old, we could have held him on our laps. And so that first lady just continued to irritate me, thinking how rigid. Anyway, I need to get past it. And the cough medicine syrup really still kind of grinds on me, but I'm trying to let it go. So the second flight went way better. We were still both on edge. We still both kind of like switched back and forth with who was playing with him, but they were much more tolerant on this flight. Like, they let him stand in front of his chair and play trucks on the seat, which the first lady wouldn't let him do. They, you know, came by and asked us if we wanted food. And I was like, yes, I do want food. So we got him some actual food instead of just fruit snacks and cheddar buddies. And so I think everybody was just feeling a ton better after that. He, of course, skipped his nap because we were in the airplane, picked up our rental car, and then we had a two-hour drive to go, everybody. And this kid hates his car seat. So we got a rental car, packed him in, and my husband had the genius idea of putting an iPad back there on like at his feet of his car seat. And playing cartoons, and he did so good. He even fell asleep for a nap. Oh. So we stopped and we walked around for a while and we made it home. And it was just that day, I'm pretty sure I just fell onto our air mattress and zonked out. So our stuff wasn't going to arrive for another week. And so we camped again here. And thankfully, you know, some of the nice people that I met allowed me to borrow their air mattresses and sheets and blankets and all kinds of stuff that we didn't have to haul around. We did haul the pack and play because Max was still in a crib. Well, turns out that moving cross country and putting him in a pack and play, he learned how to crawl out of it. So we also have been dealing with the transition from crib to bed. It's been a lot. I spent the next month, we got here beginning of October, I spent the next month just me and my son hanging out together. We've been BFFs for a month. And my husband has the same job working remotely, and he took a week off. So we got to, kind of settle in. And when our stuff got here, we got to start unpacking and stuff. But we took the next 3 weeks to just kind of explore around us and get settled. But we've just, you know, we've been BFFs for a month. And so when we started back to daycare last week, it was a rough start. It was a rough go back to daycare. He, like I said, he's a sensitive kiddo, and he'll let you know when he doesn't want to be doing something. He has from the very start. And he didn't want to go to school. And they're lovely at this daycare. Just lovely, lovely humans. After I drop him off and he's crying, and I try to make it short and sweet because I know the drill. I love you. I'll see you soon. You're safe. And I'd hear them say, oh, mommies are so great, aren't they? Mommies always come back to get you. And they'd say, you know, just the sweetest. And so I'd get great reports back from them because I started work last week, beginning of November, just kind of computer orientation and stuff. Work has been really nice to get back into the groove and get back into a routine, but these drop-offs just have been sucking the energy from me and just kind of start your day stinky. But they say every day he's doing, you know, he's coming out of his shell and being more and more active and interactive, and, you know, he just is doing great, but drop-offs continue to be a little rough, which I expected. We went through this, where we were at the same daycare when we lived in Iowa City, from when he was 3 months old to when we left at 2.5, the same exact daycare. And we would still go through periods 2 to 3 weeks at a time when he would just cry at drop off and reach for me and cling to me. And so I've been through it before, and I knew it was going to happen again. It just is always tough. So that's where we're at. This week, I'm going to start actually seeing patients, which I'm excited about. I'm going to be doing mostly outpatient. But like I said, I will be doing some nursery. So I'll be getting to see some newborns again, which will be so great. I missed it. Seeing, you know, those brand new babies. And I think after becoming a mom, you kind of there's another layer of appreciation of that time period in a family's life. And so it's really a privilege to be there and to be a resource and to be able to help even a, you know, 2%, whatever help you can give or support you can give during that time, I think is so vital. So I'm excited. It's been a lot. I feel like I can finally take a big breath. I feel like I can let my shoulders down. I think our family's just really excited, you know, to be settled in and looking forward to our adventures. We've been down to the beach. Max was initially a little bit nervous of the waves, but the last couple times we've got him down there, he's run in the freezing water and just thinks it's the greatest thing and squeals in happiness. So we're cultivating our little beach babe. The dog loves it. My husband's office in the house has like a view of the ocean, which is, I joke with him all the time that I dare him to wear sunglasses on his like video meetings, but I don't think he's going to do it. Yeah. So I know that was a rambling a lot. That was a lot of rambling, but I just wanted to close again with my gratitude for you guys being present and staying with me and staying interested despite this, excuse me, hiatus of 6 months now. I mean, it has just kind of been, it just kind of bled in. I was like, oh, I'm just going to take a month off. And then it just didn't feel right. And so I just appreciate that you're here. And I look forward to restarting content and posts and podcasts and finding some new guests. And so if you have any ideas for me, any requests, I put my monthly question box up at the first of the month, which I got some great questions this month. And then, of course, you can always shoot me an instant message either on Facebook or Instagram at halfcrunchedmamadoc. So, again, thank you. I hope you enjoyed this lovely little life update. I promise next time we will get back to your regularly scheduled pediatric content. Mwah.